I'm Stephen John Drew from the official GunnaGeek.com show, a weekly geek news podcast that is a part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other awesome geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And welcome to Play Comics, the show where we look at video games based on comic properties and how well they stick to that source material, except for times like this where I just get people on to talk about their stuff because it's cool and I think you should know about it. Today, I have Ben and Jim, creators of the Butcher Queen comic that's going to be hitting Kickstarter soon, unless you've listened to this in the future and the Kickstarter has already started. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Yeah. The Kickstarter actually has started, and we are almost, where are we, 43%?
43%, yeah, we're almost to the halfway mark, almost at the 1 week point.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting.
It's progressing very quickly. But there's no such thing as, well, there is such thing as being too late, but you've got some time.
You got plenty of time, yeah.
Yeah.
Until the first part of May.
That's the important part, because looking at the little Butcher Queen preview from something that you published before, this is looking like it's going to be something really cool.
Yeah, you know, we actually, so Butcher Queen kind of began, Ben and I met working with Ink and Drink Comics, which is a St. Louis-based publisher of anthologies. They do two a year. Each one has a theme, and we wrote a nine-page story, which is the limit you can do for these anthologies, called Butcher Queen. And it's a character that we developed together, and people really kind of grabbed onto it. So when we started our own anthology called The Dead Palace, which came out back in October, we wanted to explore her more and had the original origin story in there and a two-part story called Bone Covenant. And people again gravitated towards those stories, so we thought, well, you know what, let's do a series.
Yeah, we after we finished the book, we shopped it around and sent it to some publishers, and Jim and I both agreed that Butcher Queen is the one that we really wanted somebody to pick up, and it did. So that was sort of fortuitous.
Yeah, they originally wanted to. The idea was maybe to do the Dead Palace as a series. A old school horror series like Tales from the Crypt or something like that. But, you know, we were so excited about just the desire to do something new and with one character and one storyline that we pitched Butcher Queen to them, and they really liked it.
Yeah.
So what is it, do you think, that people have been gravitating towards with Butcher Queen?
Well, I think with Sid Hewa, she's a very, very, on one level, she's a very damaged and ethically challenged character when we meet her. But what she's trying to do is, she sort of kicked off the force after she kind of wipes out this cult. No judge, no jury. She just loses it because her partner, Kayla, was killed by the cult. And so her journey is basically trying to regain her humanity through helping people in desperate situations. And I think that's a struggle on some level that most people face every day, you know, trying to do the right thing, faced with overwhelming variables that want to point you in the opposite direction, you know?
Yeah, I think the female lead is a strong pull. At the convention last weekend, we stumbled into a tagline, Blade Runner with monsters. And for some reason, everybody's coming back and saying, oh, I've never heard of that. That sounds awesome. Like it's a foreign concept. So I think we sort of stumbled into a really strong character and in a at least a semi-unique setting, you know, of a pretty grungy dystopian but near future, but you know, mutants and monsters and stuff like that. So I guess I guess sort of like Arnold Schwarzenegger going to Mars.
Total Recall.
So yeah, a little bit like Total Recall, but more monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not just mutants, but monsters. So.
And the monsters is the thing that's kind of interesting about it, because you know it's that question of who the monsters really are. Is the off-world or aliens that are sort of emigrating to Earth, are they the monsters, or are the monsters already here? And that's what the new series kind of, that's the big question that it asks.
So for anybody who hasn't heard of Butcher Queen, can you give a real short synopsis of what's going on here?
Yeah, so Butcher Queen is about Sid Kiowa. She's an ex-cop who, she kind of runs into a lot of trouble when her partner has vanished, because he went to investigate the Terra Crepo cult. And so she goes to find him and finds out that he was killed. And like I referenced before, she kind of loses her mind a little bit. So she becomes a gun for hire, and through that journey kind of rediscovers her humanity.
Now, one of the things that I really liked reading through this in the Dead Palace is that there isn't time wasted on this is what the cult is or kind of what they're about, because really, from her perspective, I don't think it matters.
Right. No. It doesn't at all. Yeah. At a certain point, she's horrified by what she sees, and she just, her instincts take over, and she takes care of business. Now, what happens after that is her grappling with that, you know, with what she had done, whether we as the reader agree with it or not. And, you know, the no time wasted in that story, you know, a lot of that came from the 9-page limitation that we originally had with Ink and Drink Comics, which was actually really great. There's a much longer version of that story that maybe, you know, someday we can explore, but that was really, it really set a nice tone for, you know, building character, but keeping the action moving.
Yeah. It makes it sort of feel like an episode of Aeon Flux, you know, where you've got a few pages to get in there and tell a story and wrap it up in some kind of way. You know, so that's what's kind of neat about the limitations in which Jim and I met, is we had to tell these little vignettes. But it did move the pace forward, and it did show her going on a mission and then immediately losing her mind, seeing that. And maybe we'll put this online for free or something as a reward or something. But seeing the wall of faces, and if you're clever, you can actually see Caleb's face in there, that her partner. That's where she just completely snaps. So, and then the rest of the book is her cleaning up.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Extra judiciously.
Yeah, I mean, that wall of faces, I think, is where my wife kind of decided that as cool as this sounds as a story, it's not something she'd be able to read.
Right.
Yeah. Well, didn't mean to laugh at that, but awesome, I think.
You know. And I think that's the thing too with Butcher Queen. You know, we both like sci-fi and horror, and Butcher Queen kind of balances those things out. I think in the Butcher Queen series, the 4-issue series that we're going to be doing, it's a little more on the sci-fi end, probably.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the great thing for us, and what's fun about this character in this world is that we could really easily go in a direction either way and be true to what we set out to do in a way. And growing up, you know, that's what was so fun about, you know, comics and movies. You had things like Blade Runner and Star Wars, but you had things like Hellraiser and Event Horizon and all these things, and there's a really cool middle ground with those, where those two things meet. And that's basically you know, the playground that Ben and I are in to make these stories.
So are you going into this planning for like a 4-issue series and that's it? Or just kind of a 4-issue series to get things going and then we'll see what happens from there?
Yeah, I think that's... So Red 5's taken a bit of a gamble on us because we're fairly no name and we've self-published for years. But as far as the entire industry is concerned, we don't really exist yet. So they're using, we're sort of using each other as a launch pad. And I think maybe the safest way to go about that is to stick to a 4-issue series, see if it flies off the shelves, and then maybe keep it going. I would like to think, and I've not said this out loud to anybody, that if we doubled our Kickstarter, maybe they would consider doing a 6 or 8 part or something closer to a full trade, but that's all theory. We'll see what happens.
Right. Yeah. We have, there's plenty more stories with this character and with the characters that she meets along the way. Sid is kind of eventually, this is sort of casting things ahead a little bit, but she's eventually going to be getting a sort of team together, a team of misfits. And one of those misfits you actually meet in this new 4-issue series. We actually, at Wizard World, we release a prequel issue where she meets her android pilot Rags for the first time. And it's a really kind of interesting story, and that comic is actually part of our Kickstarter. If you back us at certain levels, you get a hard copy or a PDF copy of that story, whichever you like. But it's really exciting to be able to finally explore this whole world that we started in this little 9-page story. It's really fun.
Yeah, looking through all the Kickstarter stuff too, it's like y'all have really planned this thing out well.
It's our third one. We've gotten we know the formula. Well, we'd like to think.
We'd like to think, yeah. There's always something different thrown in, right?
Yeah.
It's always when you do a Kickstarter, it's always like you really have to devote your life to it every day, and it's really a tunnel vision commitment until the very end of it. And but if you're passionate about your project, and we are, we love the story, we love this character, and we really want to tell it, then being passionate and doing the work is not an issue, because you just want it to get it in front of people for them to enjoy.
So is Red 5 pretty much letting you do your thing with this and trusting you with it, or are they having some kind of editorial, at least suggestions?
Well, right now we actually we pitched them the storyline, and they read the stories from the Dead Palace, and they liked that, and then we came up with a pitch and that outlined the entire new 4-issue story, issue by issue, and they liked that. So for us right now, for Ben and I, and I don't want to. I think this is true for Ben too, but this is sort of our first rodeo working with a publisher on our own creator-owned story.
Absolutely.
So we're going to be absolutely running the scripts by them and the artwork by them, and if they have any suggestions, we're totally open to it. We've always been of the idea that whoever has the best idea, let's go with that. There's no weird ego thing involved where we're like, no, it can't be like this or it can't be like that. As long as we stay true to the character and the storyline that we all mutually agreed upon, there's really not an issue at all. We're always open to someone's better idea. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we imagine they're going to have... I imagine they're going to have something to say from time to time. They might not. They might just roll with it, but... they do have editorial say. So,
yeah, and so far they've been great. They've been very easygoing to work with, mm-hmm. So, we'll see what happens. But either way, it'll be something that we all agree on and like.
Yeah, because I love the way in this little 9-page thing you did at Dead Palace that there's so many questions that I had coming out of it that were just, what's this cult about, or what kind of led her and Caleb to get so close. And it's just so many things I'm hoping get answered.
Yeah, they will. We actually, on Friday, it's funny you say that. I had a friend of mine who backed our Kickstarter campaign, and he was a really big fan of the Dead Palace and specifically the Sid Kiowa stories, you know, Butcher Queen. And he was actually asking me all these questions like, what is the deal with this cult? How did they start? Do they come into play later on? And it was fun because I was able to explain those things to him, spoiler free, that, yeah, you know, if this is a series that goes on, there are definitely things that pop up later that have to do that go right back to that story. And it's probably not the last time you hear from the Terra Crepo cult, because while, you know, Sid took out and I hope I'm not ruining this for anybody that hasn't read it, but she takes out the cult, but that's like their hub, their headquarters, for lack of a better word. There's other, you know, tangential satellites out there on Earth that, you know, that have those people still walking the Earth, and they are going to cause trouble later on, you know, because yeah, they're crazy.
And not to devalue the allure of the cult that seems to have been generated, but we think this world is sort of unraveled, and there's just one cult around the block from another cult.
Yeah, like,
it's just sort of an awful stew of every depth of humanity. So like, I didn't know the Terra Crepo cult was coming back. That's awesome. I mean, whether they do or don't, but I always think there's just something just as awful around the next corner. That's kind of what's in my head as I draw this. My goal is to create, you know, vistas as jaw-dropping as any, you know, three-page spread back in the days of the late 90s in the comics, or as sci-fi has gotten on the film these days. So I want to create these incredible views that make you slow down when you're reading the book, but I also, you know, want what I just said, like the awfulness that planet Earth has turned into to yeah. sort of be in my frontal lobe most of the time. That might be dangerous for me and anybody around me if I try to get into that. I don't want to be a method actor or anything, but you know, hopefully, you know, when you write, when you output things creatively, you try to get in the headspace, you know, to create a true extension of that, you know, sort of emotion. So we'll see. That's the goal.
Yeah, and if you when you read Butcher Queen and then the other Sid Kiowa Butcher Queen story called Bone Covenant in the Dead Palace, you can really see what Ben's talking about, you know. And he keeps on expanding the aesthetic of the world. And when you go from Butcher Queen to Bone Covenant parts 1 and 2 in the Dead Palace, you really see how Ben does that. He does just really imaginative, detailed work on these worlds and what he's going to do in the Butcher Queen series is really going to be cool and fun and mind-blowing.
Yeah, there's a double-page spread in Bone Covenant that separates the chapters, and I've really enjoyed watching people get to that page and sort of pause, you know, and their head sinks into their neck, and they make these faces that's just sort of like, ugh, you know. It's just really uncomfortable. It's, you know, they're performing experiments on children, and we kind of show it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's fun. It's not, you know, real explicit or anything, but it is uncomfortable. And we've both, me more than Jim, have studied Junji Ito and his ability to make people uncomfortable just not graphically, but just in concept. And I think he's sort of the master of horror when it comes to comics, even though he's pretty widespread in the Western world. Even, you know, he's a Japanese manga artist, but his name's getting around these days for sure. But the art of discomfort, I think, is a huge element to horror comics, or horror in general, of course. And I like playing with the idea of it being more mental than just body horror.
Oh yeah, I definitely see what you mean in that one.
Thank you. That's the noise we're looking for.
And you know, I think, you know, sci-fi and horror are very closely related. You know, I mentioned Event Horizon earlier, but I think in a lot of ways, Blade Runner is, it's got a foot in horror as well. You know, these killer androids, you know, basically in this nihilistic future. It's very scary stuff.
Yeah, it's, they were supposed to be our labor, our servants, and they turned on us and now are stalking the streets trying to find their creator. Like, that's pretty horrific.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
They murder everybody in their way. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. That's, I mean, that's basically a old school, you know, horror thriller in concept. It's just, how many of them were there? Five or six? That's five or six.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Myers walking the street, you know?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And not to oversell the Blade Runner thing, I mean, the story in the Bone Covenant four-issue series, it's not like that story at all. But aesthetically, and maybe thematically at some level, it's definitely relatable to that.
Yeah, to work off that, I think we love cyberpunk so much, and Blade Runner. Not, that'll be the last time I say it. That we just want to create content that's more like that. I don't think there's enough of it out there, to be honest. And I can never get enough sci-fi, even though sci-fi is a bit of a hard sell sometimes. That's why we're sort of doing a sci-fi horror mashup to pique the intrigue. But I know me and many others can't get enough of that sort of landscape. I think Sean Murphy and, was it Snyder or Millar? Who wrote Tokyo Ghost? Did you guys read that?
Yeah, I know that Sean Murphy did the art. I forgot who wrote it.
Oh, Remender. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, Rick Remender. Yeah, if you guys haven't read Tokyo Ghost, that's a big influence for me as well. But that's sort of similar. Hmm. A real awful future.
That's something I'll have to go check out.
Yeah, the art's insane. And I think the book, the story gets better in the second book. The first book is intriguing enough. But the second book nails it.
If people wanted to get a little bit of a preview, can they find Dead Palace anywhere?
No,
not really
not.
Right. Yeah, not really right now, because we did a Kickstarter for that in 2017. It came out this past October, so it was really kind of this exclusive thing for our backers, and in some stores here in St. Louis, but as far as online, it's not online yet. But we may make it part of a new level, possibly, or new add-on. But Ben and I haven't spoken about that. Maybe we'll speak about that after this. But
for the record, if we can keep this in, if you'd like, I wouldn't mind just putting our first Butcher Queen story out into the world.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Just give everybody a taste.
Yeah.
And then once they get that taste, what kind of Kickstarter rewards are we looking at?
Well, we've got the most intriguing one has been the ability to actually be in the comic. We had initially only two spots to have a speaking part. I wouldn't mind expanding that since it sold out immediately. But we've got a $100 level that just puts you either as a bystander or a victim somewhere in the series. And since this is mostly in heavily populated areas, there's going to be lots of chances to cram people into the background. So, and you know, we can take quick requests, you know, send us a few pictures and you say, well, I want to have, you know, the eyes on top of my head or something like that. Okay, fine. I don't care. You know? So the ability to be in the book is a big seller. The rest is, not to devalue it, but you know, pretty typical Kickstarter fare, you know, buttons and pins and shirts and stuff like that.
A cool patch.
I love the patch. The patch is for one of our hit squads that Jim created called the 88s, and they're not very nice people. And they're in Latin on the patch, it says humanity first, because they're obviously speciesist. So it's pretty interesting. It looks like a Death Squad patch, so it might go good on your motorcycle vest or something like that. But But yeah, it's pretty typical fare for the rest of it. We are trying to get some industry artists in here to help us along and maybe intrigue, you know, another bubble of comic fan. But that's still in the works.
And my general spot on these is some level where I get physical copies.
Yep, we got that for sure.
There's a few of those.
There's quite a few. Everybody is pretty much guaranteed a digital copy, and we start giving away the physical copies pretty early on. So we're pretty firm believers in the, you know, what some people call the floppies, you know, the single issue rags. We're makes the industry go around. So,
and that's still my favorite as well. And actually, pardon me, at the $40 level, you get a subscription to the 4-issue series. So you get, you know, the 4-issue series, the actual hard copies, digital copies, and the prequel comic that we had available at Wizard World. You get that as well, along with other stuff like the embroidered patch and the button and all that cool stuff. But the subscription levels and on, that's pretty much the way to go, I think, because you get the whole story.
So we're going to be in Diamond. So once we deliver the covers to Red 5, they're going to put us in the book, and we can take pre-orders all around the country. World, actually, all around the world. And that's cool and all, and that's great, and I want us to be in some comic shop in Boise, but none of that will come with these rewards. And that's what we're trying to get out to people is, like, you know, you can pre-order us for the next 10 months or 8 months or something like that, but now is when you get the shirt and the your spot in the book and stuff like that.
So, all the cool stuff.
Yeah.
All the cool stuff is the way to go, I think.
We think so, too.
Because that's when you get to walk around with your shirt at conventions and tell everybody that you got the shirt and they can't get it anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Hopefully we become a big enough thing that, you know, that's going to be important to a few people, you know. That's the goal.
All right, so just to remind everybody, as of the time of this is recording, it has 24 days to go. But, you know, obviously you were not listening to it the day we're recording it. So you have until Thursday, May 9th. My clock says 1 a.m. Don't wait till the last minute, though, because my clock is probably wrong.
No, that's right. Yeah, we started it at midnight.
We did, yeah.
So somewhere around there. I would say that the nature of podcasts, if you hit this from the archive and you hit listen to it really late, you know, find us online. If you follow the Kickstarter even after it's done, we keep updating it to let people know where we are with the progress. We've got social media sites, you know, @ButcherQComic, pretty much everywhere. Give us a follow, and if you missed the Kickstarter, then you can always catch the train when it comes back around, when we're done with it and pre-orders go out and stuff like that. So it'd be really awesome if you get a couple pre-orders in your local comic shop, you know, after the fact. So, just because you missed the Kickstarter doesn't mean you have to miss out on the fun. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really looking forward to getting this. So now it's just a matter of which level do I want to decide to go with.
Great.
Because just seeing this little 9-page preview for me, I mean, I'm hooked.
Awesome.
That's awesome, yeah. You know, it's part of the fun, and, you know, Kickstarters are a lot of work, but part of the fun is, like, putting together these levels and, like, all the cool merch stuff that goes with it, because I love getting stuff on Kickstarter because it's all stuff you can't get anywhere else. And if you're a fan of this stuff, which we all are, I think, we gear what you get in each level towards fans like us. You know what I mean? And so that's kind of part of the fun of doing one of these things.
Yep, we're just creating content that we ourselves would ingest. And from what I read from all of my favorite creators, that's how they get to the level that I would consider successful, where they just create something that they wanted to create. And of course that's going to resonate with somebody else because there's 7 billion people on the planet. So you're never, right. You know, you're never that alone. So you just create what you want, what you like, and you'll find kindred spirits that'll, you know, keep you busy, keep you working. That's kind of our MO. And we're just lucky enough that Red 5, you know, took the bait.
Yeah.
say, it was probably an easy decision for him because this looks like it's going to be something really good.
Well, I hope. I'm glad it looks good, and my goal is to, and I know it's Jim's goal too, is to keep making stuff even better. So hoping that the series is going to look even better than what we've put out so far. So.
Yeah, and I think this is the first character that Ben and I have done together that we thought, wow, we really want to see more of these characters. And, you know, once we started getting into it, you know, there's so many more stories to tell. And that's really kind of the magic of it. That's what you really want to do, anything that lights that creative fire like that. So, yeah, we're super excited about it.
All right, well, any last thoughts before we close things out?
No, just, yeah, just look over our Kickstarter campaign if you can. It's Butcher Queen, where you can watch the video and check out the levels. And we're really, really pumped about it. And thanks so much for giving us a platform to talk to people about it. That's very cool.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. Yeah, thanks, everybody, for listening. We're going to keep posting new material as the campaign progresses, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff, some new videos. Some B-roll, some bloopers, and I'm still working on character concepts and villains and things like that. So if you like the art and you like the premise, there's of course more to come. So just keep an eye out. We'll keep trying to entertain you the best we can.
Yeah, we will have links down in the show notes to the Kickstarter and all the relevant social medias and everything, because it's just so much easier to ask you to click a link than to try to spell things right.
Sure. Yeah.
With that, this has been another creator guest episode of Play Comics. Next, we'll be back on our normal schedule of comparing games to comics, and then I've got a few more of these lined up and some more people that I'm getting ready to talk to about being on here, so get ready to hear a lot more of these kind of episodes. But until then, just grab a game, grab a stack of comics, and go find yourself a new favorite character.